Hey there, guys and gals, all you hip cats, cool kittens, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. This is Tales from the Flip Side, and I am your host, the comic book loving, time traveling, diesel punk prophet of pop culture, the artist sometimes known as Big Daddy Cool, the impossibilist, John Pica. You can call me Johnny, and I am coming to you live tonight from the Casa de Cool in the Houdini Room to talk about Iron Fist Season 2 and to give you my thoughts, views, and reviews. Now, warning right up front that this review is going to be like most of my other reviews. It is going to be filled with spoilers. So you have been warned. If you have not watched all of Iron Fist Season 2, go back and rewatch it or watch it now and come back and listen to the episode later on, because I would love to hear your feedback, but we really can't have a conversation until we're on the same page. So go do that, come back, and listen to the rest of the podcast. We'll wait. All right, so Iron Fist Season 2. Let's start with kind of a recap of my thoughts of Season 1. If you guys have been listening to the program, you know that I was a big fan of Iron Fist Season 1. I thought it was one of the stronger of the MCU shows. I would say right below Daredevil. I liked it better than Luke Cage, and I liked it a whole lot more than Jessica Jones. And a lot of the complaints that people had about Season 1, I felt were invalid. Basically, you can go back and listen to my full review of Season 1, but in a nutshell, I believe that fans were expecting the fully realized hero of the Iron Fist when we first met Danny Rand at the beginning of Iron Fist Season 1. And that was not the story being told. The story being told is that the hero's journey. And we saw his journey through Season 1. He developed as a character. He matured. We saw him develop even further in Defenders because, let's face it, the Defenders was really an Iron Fist and Daredevil team-up show. They were both fighting the Hand, and Jessica and Luke were just kind of along for the ride, along with Misty and Claire and Colleen Wing, although Colleen Wing played a big part in Defenders. Because, again, they were fighting against the Hand, and one of the Hand leaders, Bakudo, she had to take out in Defenders. And then we see him again in Season 2 of Luke Cage. He's matured even further. And the place that he started in Iron Fist Season 1 and the place that we meet him at the beginning of Season 2 are vastly different places. You know, I made a comment online to a friend that, you know, she was complaining about the martial arts in Season 1. And quite frankly, I have a black belt in Taekwondo. I didn't see anything wrong with the martial arts. And a lot of that season, you know, was kind of, well, people were really, how do I say this without being misunderstood? People were expecting Finn Jones, a white guy trained in martial arts, to move like a Chinese or Korean fighter trained in the same martial art. And I'm going to be honest with you. I have a black belt in Taekwondo. I passed the same tests as my South Korean brothers, but I can't do anything nearly like what they can. I hit harder, I kick stronger, but they're faster, they jump higher, they do things that I can't do, but I do things that they can't do. And that was, to me, the perspective that I brought to Iron Fist Season 1. The other complaint that people had was that Iron Fist was not an Asian actor. He wasn't supposed to be. The character is a white guy, rich white kid who, you know, survives a plane crash in the Himalayas and is adopted by the monks of Kunlun, the mystical city, and trained as a warrior, a Kunlun warrior who eventually earns the right to face the dragon, Shao Lao, the Undying, and defeat him to claim the heart of the dragon and the power of the Iron Fist. And the whole crux of season one was dealing with a man out of culture for the second time. And, you know, people complained that, you know, the Iron Fist should be Asian. Well, that was never the basis of the character to begin with. You can go back and listen to the full review and hear my thoughts about all of that. But coming into season two, we see a much more mature Danny Rand, not just psychologically, but physically. And he's really gotten a solid handle on the Iron Fist. He can summon the power at will without concentration. And we find out later in the series that it's because he's been practicing every night, you know, going out on the town looking for crimes to thwart, criminals to defeat. But when there were none, he was practicing. He had set up his own practice room under the subway system. We meet Davos again. You remember Davos was considered Danny's brother in Kunlun. They fought for against each other for the right to face Shao Lao, and Danny won that fight. At the end of season one, Davos was bitter that Danny had left Kunlun, and he had come to find him and bring him back to force him to fulfill his duty as the Iron Fist. Kunlun only appears every 15 years. The window was going to close. The portal was going to close. So at the end, Danny decided, no, I'm going to fight the hand here where they are in New York and not wait for them to come attack Kunlun. Davos, you know, was disgusted. They fought. Davos was sent packing. And at the end of season one, Davos meets up with Joy Meacham. And Joy Meacham had been estranged from her brother Ward because she found out that her father had actually been alive all these years, resurrected by the hand, not once, but twice. And she didn't know that her father was not the person she thought he was. He was not, you know, the kind, generous, loving father that she thought he was, but he was actually a cruel, evil master. And the control he exerted over Ward was extraordinary. And that, you know, they had, Harold Meacham did not want Joy to know that he was still alive, and obviously Ward wanted to protect her from their monster of a father. So they end up in season one split on opposite sides. And in the final scene of season one, we see Davos meet Joy. And we know it's not for altruistic purposes. So flash forward to season two. We meet Danny, the fully realized Iron Fist. He doesn't have the outfit. You know, he's not wearing the mask and the green tracksuit or the green, you know, spandex, but he is wearing a yellow face mask, half mask over his mouth and nose, kind of like the Shadow with a green hoodie. So, you know, there are nods to the costume, but he has fully realized the power of the Iron Fist. He's out fighting crime secretly and keeping Matt Murdock's promise, or his promise to Matt Murdock. You'll remember at the end of Defenders, Matt Murdock had whispered in his ear and asked him to defend the city in his absence. And so Danny Rand is taking that to heart. He's moved into an apartment with Colleen Wing. They're living together. They've converted the dojo that Colleen ran into an apartment. She has hung up her katana after the whole ordeal with the hand in season one and the Defenders and having to kill her not just her master, but her friend and father figure, Bakudo, she just decided she did not want to have any part of this anymore. She hung up the sword. She closed the karate school. And, you know, she's going to make the community a better place by volunteering at a community center called Baird. And so that's where we meet Colleen. Joy, Meacham, and Davos have continued their relationship. They've formed a business relationship, one that will benefit both of them, and we'll talk about that in a moment. And Ward Meacham is continuing to run Rand and attend an Addicts Anonymous kind of thing. It's called NA, and I don't remember what the N stands for, but he was going because of, you know, he needed group therapy for anger and emotional detachment issues. So the crux of the story, and here's where the spoilers are going to come. The crux of the story is that Davos believes that Danny stole the Iron Fist power from him. We see the flashback to the fight scene in Kunlun. Danny clearly had defeated Davos, and the only option in the fight was either to yield or to be killed. And Davos was not going to yield, so Danny was going to have to kill him. And Davos's father, the head monk, stops the fight and awards Danny the victory. Now, Davos did not yield. He did collapse unconscious. But we find out later that the reason is because Davos's father did not want Danny to cross that line and become a killer. And at the same time, he knew that Davos could not be the Iron Fist because of his personality. And we find out later that the reason is because Davos allows himself to be corrupted by the power of the Iron Fist. So that's the first spoiler. Davos steals the Iron Fist power back from Danny. In a ceremony with the Crane sisters, he exhumes a corpse of a former Iron Fist. The corpse has the green uniform on it that we, you know, we're hoping to see Danny Rand in, with the face mask and the green gi and the yellow trim, and of course the Iron Fist tattoo on his chest. He carves off the skin of the chest, and they're going to use that tattoo mixed with Danny's blood to create an ink for a new tattoo for Davos, and then perform a ritual where you can steal the chi. And to get Danny there, Davos needs the help of Joy Meacham. He needs her money. She hires the mercenary Walker, and Walker, a.k.a. Mary Walker, who we find out has DID, dissociative identity disorder, has two personalities, but the personality of Walker is a military tactician, mercenary. She's hired to take Danny down. She's been surveilling him for 6 months, knows his rituals, knows his habits, knows where he's going to be, how he's going to react, and she takes him down with a syringe full of a lethal cocktail of drugs, knocks him out, brings him to the ceremony. And the other thing that Joy's money needed to provide is the ink used from the exhumed tattoo in Danny's blood had to be mixed in a specific bowl that had some type of mystical powers. So long story short, Davos pulls the heart of the dragon out of Danny, claims the power of the Iron Fist for himself, and sets out to do what Danny never had the strength to do. Not just fight crime and criminals in Chinatown and New York, but to eliminate crime and suffering altogether by killing those who would commit crimes and lead gangs. And so he is basically on a killing spree. He recruits the kids of the neighborhood, the punks, to join him and become his army. And he's training them, giving them a place to eat, a sense of purpose, etc. Now, the big thing about the big difference between Davos and Randy is that, or Danny Rand, rather, not Randy, Danny. The big difference is that Davos's Iron Fist glows red. Danny's is yellow. And in the comics, Davos is not called the Iron Fist. He's called the Steel Serpent. Now, he calls himself the Iron Fist in this season. And really, truthfully, this is Davos's story for the most part. This season two is really more the story of Davos and Colleen Wing. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But Davos gets the power. He's corrupted by the power. Danny tries to go reason with him. It goes badly. It goes sideways. And Davos ends up breaking Danny's leg, shattering it in multiple places. So now Danny doesn't have the Iron Fist. Now he's wounded. He can't walk. And long story short, he is going through physical therapy, and he asks Colleen to retrain him, to help him get his body back in a place where he can go fight Davos again and reclaim the power of the Iron Fist. And she at first says, no, I'm not going to do that. I want out of this. I do not want to be a part of it anymore. I love you, Danny, but no. And she eventually, you know, tries to sleep on it. She can't sleep. Danny's training out in the back or out in the dojo, and she finally acquiesces and says, okay, I will train you. And over the course of a couple of weeks, they train constantly, and she retrains Danny's body, heals, you know, helps him heal his leg, and he's ready to go fight Davos. Maybe. One last test remains that Colleen wants to put him through. And they go to the cage where we see Misty doing cage fighting in season one. It's been shut down, but the cage is still there, and they're going to have a cage fight. And in the middle of the fight, Danny realizes that he wants to fight Davos and reclaim the power of the Iron Fist, not because it's necessarily his birthright. It's Davos's birthright, but not because it's his birthright or because he won the honor. It's not because he wants to protect the city. It's not because he wants to protect Colleen, and it's not because he wants to end Davos's reign of terror. It's because he wants the power of the Iron Fist for himself. And he admits that it's been consuming him and that he really doesn't know how to live without it, and all he wants in his life is to have it back. And for that reason, he does not deserve it. He comes to this conclusion on his own, and he asks Colleen, when they finally defeat Davos and perform the ceremony to get it back from Davos, that she be the holder of the Iron Fist. And at first she says, no, no way. But after a series of conversations and understanding and hearing the story told of the pirate princess, and she realizes that maybe she is the one that needs to hold the power of the Iron Fist, and she agrees to do it. So they go confront Davos. They know that they have to do the same thing Mary did to him. They drug him. They take him to the ceremony. Misty starts pulling out the Heart of the Dragon from Davos into herself, and the ceremony is interrupted, and Davos runs away. Now, here's the big thing. Davos's Iron Fist is red. Danny's was yellow. Colleen gets part of the Iron Fist. Davos still has part of it because the ceremony is broken in the middle. So she's got a white Iron Fist. And, you know, I'm this that's a spoiler, and here's another big spoiler. Up until the very last moment, I really thought that there was going to be some way that Colleen doesn't take the Iron Fist, that it goes back to Danny. I really believe that. To my surprise and delight, that did not happen. They capture Davos again. They subdue him, and they finish the ritual. Colleen becomes the new Iron Fist. Danny is without the power. Davos is without the power. He's beaten. He's broken. He's arrested. He's chained up. He's sent packing in an ambulance. Now, the subplot throughout this entire show was that of Mary Walker and Joy Meacham. Joy Meacham almost dies. She's thrown off a balcony by Davos when he ends their relationship. Mary Walker, she believes Davos is too dangerous to live, and so she's going to kill him. But, of course, Danny Rand needs him alive so that they can, you know, take the power of the Iron Fist away from him and, you know, put it back in him, or at this point, Colleen. So now she becomes their enemy again. For a while she was on their side. Now she's an enemy again. They just got to be dealt with. Ward Meacham throughout the whole series is trying to deal with his emotional issues and how he can be a brother to Danny. He was actually a very relatable character. A very minor subplot with him until the end, though. But he had to get to a place. And this is the thing that really bothers me. There were some subplots in this show that a lot of fans don't understand why they were there. And I will say this. Iron Fist, of all of the Netflix shows, Danny Rand's character arc, the character development, the depth of these characters is the strongest in all of the shows. Misty Knight is another supporting character, and her character is developed even more, even further, as she and Colleen become close friends, aka Daughters of the Dragon. And the only character missing was Claire Temple. And actually, Colleen makes a mention of Claire, asking Misty, can we get Claire? And Misty waves her off, because we know that Claire has left. In the middle of Luke Cage season 2, Claire is up and vanished. She's done. So no Claire in this show. First Netflix show without Claire. It was a little bit odd, but Misty Knight filled that role pretty well. So, at the end of the day, they defeat Davos. Misty has the Iron Fist. And the last two scenes of the show were amazing. I had the same feeling watching these two scenes that I had at the end of Iron Man in 2008 when Tony Stark looks at the reporters in that room and says, to tell the truth, I am Iron Man. You remember how awesome that felt? How amazing that was? That's how I felt when they revealed Colleen at the end of season 2 wielding the Iron Fist, but not just the Iron Fist. She's able to transmute her Iron Fist powers into her katana. So she's this badass Iron Fist samurai with a lightsaber katana. Awesome. We didn't really see her in action, but we didn't need to. We knew that she was the real deal. And this is months later. The second moment was the same feeling I had in Iron Man in 2018, post-credit scene, where Nick Fury steps out of the shadow and says, I'm here to talk to you about the Avengers Initiative. Man, you remember when that happened? You were like, oh, wow, this is awesome. And chills just ran up and down my spine. It's what I'd wanted all my life as an Avengers fan. And to hear Nick Fury say the Avengers, we didn't even know at the time that Avengers was on its way. So that was like, oh, are you kidding me? And that launched the excitement of the entire MCU. Well, Danny Rand's final scene, he has convinced Ward to hop on a plane at the spur of the moment and travel to Asia with him, you know, leaving responsibility at Rand behind. We don't know who they left the company to, but he basically absconds with Ward, and Ward is at a place now in his life where he is ready for this adventure. And they leave for Asia together, and we flash forward a couple of months, and they're in a bar either in Japan or Shanghai. I can't remember. But they are inquiring about Orson Randall. And for those of you who are into Iron Fist lore, Orson Randall was one of the previous Iron Fists of World War II, and they're trying to find him. And the big bad pulls out a gun. He's going to fire at Danny. Danny pulls two guns from his side. His fists light up with the Iron Fist power, both of them, and he shoots a chi-infused bullet out of each of the guns, smacking the bullet fired at him, hitting it point blank, and Danny just says, "Don't try that again," smiles and laughs. And it was this moment where we see Danny Rand as the character we saw him in the latest Heroes for Hire Power Man and Iron Fist series from Marvel, the comic series. Very lighthearted, smile on his face, a little bit cocky, and that's a good place for him to be, but somehow he also has the power of the Iron Fist again. So seeing that story told and figuring that out is going to be fun. Hopefully we do get a season 3. I can't imagine that we won't with the way that they left it. And quite honestly, I'm okay with this new status quo. I am okay with Colleen Wing being the Iron Fist. As it turns out, she has a family heritage to the Iron Fist. One of her ancestors, as it turns out, it appears, was the first female to claim and to win the honor of the Iron Fist, the Pirate Princess. And that story is told in the show by a couple of different people, and you know, Colleen mentions that she's heard the story before. My mother told it to me, and it turns out she was telling her the story of her ancestor. And there's this point where Danny Rand is cleaning up Colleen's apartment. Davos has wrecked it. He's destroyed a family heirloom. It's a long story. I'm not going to get into it, but there was a medallion on the box of this heirloom that had, you know, this kind of crane design on it. And Danny finds the box. The medallion has come loose. This belonged to Colleen. He turns it over, and the Iron Fist emblem is on the other side, validating the connection. And he basically surmises that the reason that he became the Iron Fist in the first place was not to become the Iron Fist, but to find the true heir to the Iron Fist legacy, and that would be Colleen Wing. Now, if that remains the status quo in the MCU, I am super happy with that, because Danny still does have some chi power. How he got it, we don't know. But he definitely has the power of the Iron Fist again, but he is not the immortal Iron Fist. That is Colleen Wing. Now, there's another character in here. I mentioned her just really briefly, and I'm going to lay down a theory about this character, and I'm interested to hear what you guys think about it. The character of Mary Walker. Now, everyone has been excited to talk about Typhoid Mary appearing, and that's who they think she is. I don't think it is Typhoid Mary. In the comics, Typhoid Mary, Daredevil and Moon Knight villain, is, or anti-hero, has psychokinetic abilities, pyrokinetic abilities. She's a mutant, and she has powers. This Mary Walker did not have that. She had DID, dissociative identity disorder. And as it turns out, there's the personality of Mary and the personality of Walker. But then there is a third personality that she didn't even know was there and discovers it through the course of the series, that there's a third personality. And as I was thinking through this yesterday, live on Facebook, I'm talking about the potential of a new series with, you know, called The Fearless Defenders, with Misty Knight leading a team with her and Colleen Wing, Trish Walker as Hellcat. And I said, and maybe Moon Knight. And all of a sudden, that Moon Knight idea sparked something in me. See, if you don't already know, the showrunners on Iron Fist Season 2 had intended to bring Moon Knight into the show, basing it on the Jeff Lemire and Warren Ellis run of the series of the character. And for whatever reason, they decided not to, and they kept they brought Mary Walker in. But here's what I think. I think Mary Walker is Moon Knight. And I think in the MCU, Moon Knight is going to be a woman. The Fist of Khonshu is Mary Walker. And here are some clues that lead me down this path. She's got DID, not one, not two, but three personas. An artist, a mercenary, and this third alter, this third persona that she doesn't even know about yet. They just describe her as a vicious killer that, you know, she left everyone in a, it was a bloodbath. She killed everyone. It was a bloodbath. But she emerged, that character emerged to protect Walker and Mary. But neither one of them knew about the third, and now we know. But whenever Walker is working, she pulls a hood up. When she's Mary, the hood is down. When she's Walker, the mercenary, the hood comes up. And there are several key scenes where she specifically pulls the hood up in a random motion. And every single time, it was as Walker was moving a level closer to this third alter, this third persona. And those three personas mirror Stephen Grant, Jake Lockley, and Mark Spector. In the comics, Moon Knight also has DID. And the three personas he have is, you know, the artist, the producer, Stephen Grant, Hollywood director, the mercenary, Mark Spector, and the cab driver, Jake Lockley. Did I say that right? Stephen Grant, Jake Lockley, and Mark Spector. They mirror Mary's personalities remarkably. But then there's more evidence. During an incident in Sokovia, we have this flashback. She's, you know, in Sokovia, either as a mercenary or a U.S. military operative. She's put in the hole, in a cell. And she remains there until the next, basically, the day, the number of days they gave was 23 days. Now, why is that significant? Well, a lunar cycle is 28 days. 28 days from the moon vanishing to the next full moon. That cycle is 28 days from not being able to see the moon to seeing the full moon, then not seeing it again. It's 28 days. But on the 23rd day is when the moon becomes full again for 5 days. And she's in the hole for 23 days before she escapes. At nighttime, wearing white, and she slaughters every, you know, she slaughters her captors. It's a bloodbath. And she doesn't remember it. So third personality triggered at the full moon wearing white. But then there's two other clues. She is a weapons master, tactician, mercenary, marksman extraordinaire. She knows how to fight. She's able to stand her own ground against the Iron Fist. But then, this was kind of curious. She carries a pair of machetes. And one of Moon Knight's enemies is a machete-wielding psychopath. And I tried to remember the name of this character, and I couldn't remember it. Someone out there will listen and help me. But during a run in the 90s, with I think Mark Textera was the artist on Moon Knight. Moon Knight carried machetes on his side, and so does Walker. She carries two machetes and fights with them. I believe that these are all clues that she will become the MCU Moon Knight, the Fist of Khonshu. And to be honest with you, I'm okay with that too. And I'm anxious to see what they do with it. I'm going to lay odds that in the next Defenders series or the next Iron Fist season 3, if there is a season 3, I hope there is. I hope it gets enough fan reaction and high enough ratings to do a season 3. I think it would be a shame not to. But whatever comes out of this season, I think we need to see a team with Misty, Colleen, Trish Walker, Hellcat, and Mary Walker, a.k.a. Moon Knight. And I'm interested to see where that goes. I would love to hear your thoughts about my theory of the MCU Moon Knight. Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think it's a bad idea? What do you think about Colleen Wing being the immortal Iron Fist, the descendant of the Pirate Princess, the first female Iron Fist to defeat the previous Iron Fist and wield the Heart of the Dragon? I'm okay with this. I really like it. I think it's a cool idea and a cool direction. Very unexpected. A departure from the comic book canon, which I'm always okay with. The MCU canon is not comic book canon. The one thing that I am still aggravated about is that there is no tie-in to the larger MCU. Now, the showrunners have admitted that Iron Fist takes place before Avengers Infinity War. Okay, that's great. I want to hear those things mentioned. It's really bugging me that Marvel continues to promise us this connected universe, but it's basically like the Netflix universe is over here. We got the MCU universe over here, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on TV, and then Runaways and Cloak and Dagger are in their own universe. And that's not what we were promised as fans. And Marvel could fix this if they would just use a few lines of dialogue in each show. Nobody is looking for cameos from every character, but doggone it, just establish that it is a shared universe and that these characters could potentially meet at any time. It's not that hard. Instead of referencing the New York event, call it what it was, the Chitauri invasion. You know, reference, at least they had Mary Walker in Sokovia. At least they brought that into the front. But, you know, let's talk about, oh my gosh, what just happened in Sokovia? Mary was in Sokovia? Was she there during that business with Ultron? No, but that was wild, wasn't it? Should we be registered? Danny, did you sign the Accords? That's all I want, something like that. But no, they haven't given this that. I really want that. But that aside, I really think Iron Fist Season 2 is the finest offering from the MCU to date. The hero's journey, the circle of the hero's journey, is a perfect translation of Joseph Campbell's theory. There's a new status quo at the end with a new Iron Fist and a new adventure for Danny and Ward. And I really, really love this. And I think if you watch Iron Fist Season 2, I would watch them in order, but then I would let yourself go back to the very opening of Season 1 to see the remarkable contrast between where we leave Danny at the end of Season 2 and where he started at the beginning of Season 1. I think you'll be blown away like I was. All right, so that is my review of Iron Fist Season 2. I loved it. I thought it was great. The fight choreography was fantastic. It was up a whole notch from the first season. Colleen Wing was a total badass. Her fight scenes were awesome. All of the fight scenes were great, but hers were particularly good. I really enjoy her. And her becoming the new Iron Fist, unbelievable cool. And my theory that Mary Walker is Moon Knight, I'd love to hear your thoughts about that. Send me an email at johnpica@johnpica.com. And while you're there, you can connect with me online at other social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever floats your boat, johnpica@johnpica.com. And you can also check out my book, Tales from the Flip Side, there. It is a diesel punk pulp adventure time travel story with vampire Nazis, time traveling gangsters, and superpowered showgirls. It's my autobiography. Check that out while you're there. And since you're searching the net already, go ahead over to iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play and give us a review. Drop a 5-star review on those platforms. Let people know what you think about our show, Tales from the Flip Side. That would be awesome. Well, guys and gals, that is it for me this week. That is my thoughts about Iron Fist Season 2. I would love to hear your thoughts. So drop me an email, let me know. And until the next time, we'll catch you on the flip side.